just talk. Okay, well, this is Sterling Allen, Pure Energy Systems News. Vinny has asked me to come on the show to talk about free energy. That is what I do. For 11 years, I've been tracking the world of clean or exotic free energy. I say exotic because when you talk about conventional, you're talking solar, wind, geothermal, tide. Physicists aren't going to have a problem with those. Coincides with modern physics, makes them all happy. But when you talk about cold fusion, magnet motors, zero point energy, electromagnetic over unity, water as fuel, etc., then they want to throw you out as a heretic and burn you at the stake or whatever. And that's where we get interested, is the heretical science, the stuff where people are breaking the laws of physics and it works. The devices that are not supposed to work but do anyway. I'm a maverick. I was raised a maverick to a certain extent, and as a young adult, deeply embedded myself as a maverick, and I then put those skills to work in the world of free energy. So out there in the world of free energy, we're tracking to find and facilitate the very best exotic clean energy technologies that not only would be clean, but affordable, something you could actually save money on your electrical bill rather than just being independent from the grid and sticking it to the man. All of us would like to do that, but we don't have enough money in our pockets to go buy these expensive solar panels that have a 30-year return on investment. A wind turbine, if you have good wind in your area, could be a 10-year return on investment. These things could have a 1 to 3 year return on investment, and they're getting close to market. We're talking have any back?
I've been back sitting here listening to you for quite a while. Thank you for taking over the show for me while I've been having technical difficulty. I've always wondered that, Sterling, as well, is why exactly do solar panels and wind energy get all the media attention as if it's the only methodology of creating energy for free off of the natural elements and the things in the universe? It just drives me nuts. And especially what drives me nuts is that they're incredibly expensive. And, you know, only the wealthy can get them at the moment anyway. So it's like, what? Only the wealthy have access to free energy. Is that a contradiction?
Well, obviously, when you use the term free energy, let's describe what we mean by that. When I say free energy, I'm talking about the source is free for the taking. Nature gives us energy free for the taking. Solar is free. You don't have to pay for the sun. You don't have to pay for the wind. The devices that you use to harness that energy are not free, but ideally should be inexpensive. And that is indeed the case with these exotic technologies. And a very good argument can be made that the reason they stay as exotic is because there is a calculated agenda by the conspiratorial forces, the same one that brought the towers down on September 11th, the same ones who give these numerous false flag events, the Boston bombing, which stunk to high heavens within minutes of the news coming out on it. The alternative media was all over the holes in that story. And yet the mainstream media keeps trumping it as, you know, it's just some whack job that did bad. And
how many people even listen to the mainstream media anymore? Apparently, it's very little.
The story of Alex Jones going to CNN and rustling the feathers of Piers Morgan. And he tells a story the next day about going into the bathroom at CNN, and they had diarrhea and barf on the wall and the mold in the corners. He said 10 years ago when he went to CNN, it was what you would expect it to be, clean, you know, shiny. But now it's like this cesspit behind the scenes. It's a facade. These guys are on their way down. It's the Wizard of Oz. It's totally, these guys' curtain is about to fall.
Well, see, we're the ones picking up the slack, aren't we? It's like they've created a market for us, whether or not we like it, that we've created a market for people who want to listen to stuff that isn't BS.
Indeed.
I mean, I should thank the mainstream media. They gave me my job in a roundabout way.
Well, if they were doing their job, we wouldn't need this job because it would be coming from them. And as David Icke very aptly puts, everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Major media destroys information. Universities destroy knowledge. Those who are supposed to be the connoisseurs of health are destroying and blocking those who have true health solutions. And the same thing with energy. The major energy companies are polluting the planet and blocking the true solutions that are clean, affordable, distributed, that would make our state, our planet stable and no longer dependent on the powers that be that are corrupt. And when you have a free energy device that powers your house, powers your car, never have to stop for fuel, that is affordable, then you can stick it to the man. They're obsolete. They no longer have a reason to exist.
Well, one would say that they don't currently have a reason to exist. and I think it's like evolution or adaptation. Once you realize, let's say you were a psychopath. Just imagine for a moment, if you were a ruthless criminal psychopath and you liked killing babies, you liked enslaving people, you liked power and money and all that kind of stuff. And somebody comes up with something that's very nice, very good for humanity, that will take away your money and take away your power and take away your ability to control people. What would you do to that person who invented it?
Yeah, and there are many stories about inventors who end up getting threatened. Their technology gets bought, put on the shelf, at big prices sometimes, just to shut them up. They go on their way and they stay quiet. And once in a while, under a drunken binge or something, a secret squeaks out and you hear what really happened. And yeah, stuff like that happens. But you know, my motto is that the tool of the enemy, of the bully, I should use the word bully in this analogy, the tool of the bully is fear. That's how they rule. And if you have no fear, they have no power. And so my motto has been, all this time that I've been doing this, is to stay out of fear. Because if you go into fear, they have power, they win. But if you don't have fear and you just do the right thing and you know, tell the story as it is, the best you see it, you know, I don't want to, you know, invite anything, but I've been at this 11 years and I've never had a knock on my door. I'm not saying I don't have people listening in on my conversations. I just don't worry about it. You know, if somebody came to my door,
I say, let them watch. Let them freaking watch. What are they going to do? You know, they're going to listen to us having
convert.
Oh yeah, they're going to listen to us having an enlightened conversation, like on this show every single freaking day with somebody else about some new form of scumbaggery, whatever that be, free energy or drug wars or whatever. And eventually, okay, this is how propaganda works. They'll have it repeated to them over and over and over again. I can imagine these poor analysts sitting there, you know, forced to listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show for a job.
Every time we send somebody to go listen to Vinnie Eastwood, they change teams.
Yeah. They have like a cycle going so that, you know, only a little bit of their propaganda will be busted each time that they surveil one of the shows. Oh, yeah. Is he calling for the military to take out the U.S. leadership or something like that? No. He's just having fun and having a few laughs and talking about various forms of scumbaggery and stuff like that. Damn, we can't take him out yet.
Yeah. I have to tell you a cute little story that I think is symptomatic or is a good analogy of the tactic that I like to take of no fear. I saw this discovery. It might have been, it was some kind of a, you know, discovery type of programming. And you had this little raccoon playing on the beach, little baby raccoons tossing around. And then this cougar comes along, hiding in the bushes, crouched down, and you can see what's going to come next, right? You predict that cougar eats baby raccoon in a couple of bites and moves on, right? This is what the headlines read in the Maytime mainstream media. But what happens is this cougar comes pouncing out, and instead of running, the little baby raccoon starts playing with the cougar. It's batting it, you know, teasing, and the cougar's like, "What?" It's like, and the cougar starts playing with the raccoon, and the cougar's like it's with its own little cub, and they're little playing back and forth, you know, 35, 45 seconds, and then the cougar walks off confused, like, okay, whatever, that was interesting. And the raccoon just keeps on playing. It's no big deal, just another playmate in the course of his day. And so when the men in black show up at your door, rather than cowering in fear, invite them in for a cup of coffee. Invite them in show them your latest YouTube video. Pretend like he's a friend. And if you have your heart full of love, the pretending doesn't come very hard. You know, he's one of God's creations. He's got a conscience hidden somewhere in there. It can be perked. And, that's a great analogy. I love that story.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, psychopaths don't actually exist in the animal kingdom. Whereas, so it's at least possible to get through to some of these creatures. Whereas in the human societies, certain people are born different, very different. And doesn't matter how nice I am to them, doesn't matter how many cups of coffee I make.
You know what, though? I don't know that I buy that. I would say that the worst case you can take is not unreachable. Even the hardest core Lucifer himself could be converted at some point and changed.
Have you got any examples of a psychotic murderer or somebody who is a clinical psychopath?
Schindler's
List. Who has reversed their ways.
Schindler. Eric Schindler of Schindler's List, the movie. He was a Nazi sympathizer, lived in Nazi Germany, a businessman, got high up in business because he played the game. And then his conscience was pricked, and he saved thousands of Jews by his trickery of pretending like he was one of them, but changing his tactics.
Mm. Now, was he clinically a psychopath before going into that and having no emotion, no frontal lobe activity?
I don't know about that. But I bet you people in the audience could come up with examples of people who have had the psychotic break, who have had that break with reality, have gone over to the other side completely and are completely given into it, have done the sacrificial initiations, killing dead killing babies or whatever they have to do to become part of that clique, are still reachable at some point. Then maybe not in this life. You know, but I'm not saying that we should be naive and that we should just let these guys, you know, run scot-free and not worry about them. But I'm saying that a primary tool. See, how many are actually that corrupt?
It's about between 1 and 4%.
Not of humankind.
Yeah, of humankind. They've done studies.
I would guess that are that dark, that are unreachable. I would say it's more like in the low thousands or less, that are so corrupt that they're basically unreachable in this lifetime. It could even be in the low hundreds. Everyone else, you can get to. You can get to them. You can get them back on your team. You can get them through a program of recovery and get them out of their programming. Another good book, there's a book called Transformation, spelled Trans, T-R-A-N-C-E, Transformation of America. She was a mind control victim, where she was one of these harlot slaves, and she was actually recovered from that and basically wrote this book with the guy who helped deprogram her.
Mm. Well, you know, hope springs eternal. And what I'm in favor of is essentially avoiding these people altogether and just trying to find nice, decent, caring, loving, creative people that you can spend your life with. And hopefully you'll never run into any form of scumbag, and they'll probably rot away like necrosis with nobody to eat, destroy, or control, or have power over. Don't feed the beast. I think that's basically the thing. You don't want to go to war with these people because, hey, they'll use dirty tactics you'd never even dream of using on another human being. We'll be right back after the break. TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone. The conditions which frame the quarter's hour standards have gone. The world we knew is gone.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the world you knew is gone. You know why? Because it was stolen by a bunch of criminal scumbags wearing suits. Now, there's another thing. I made that comment yesterday on Facebook. We've got this 33rd degree Freemason dude named John Banks, right? Used to be the mayor of Auckland, and he's been mired with all sorts of accusations like being a pedophile, being a drug runner or a gun runner and all of this other kind of stuff. And he's never defended himself in court or taken anybody for defamation on these cases. I wonder what that means, you know. but what I called him is a criminal in a suit. And people don't get this. The most dangerous people aren't the ones that are wearing the Masonic checkered hats with tasers on their hips. They're not the ones with the foxhole-bound helmet-wearing M4 carbine-wielding, grenade-lobbing type. No. The police and the military aren't the most dangerous people. The most dangerous people are the ones that look like everybody else wearing a suit, because you can't identify them. That's what makes them so freaking dangerous. People don't know who the hell these people are. If you see a policeman coming at you, he's got a clear uniform. He is identified. You know exactly what he's going to do to you. You know, he's going to spray you with mace. He's going to put his knee into your lower back, and he's going to pull your arm around, and he's going to bind you with fisticuffs. You know, a military guy busts in. You know, he's probably going to shoot you or anything. You can see it coming. But if a fracker is wearing a suit, it's like urban camouflage. You don't see him.
You know, the logo.
Your country's already gone.
The logo image for the Fabian Socialists is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, and there's the other symbol of the Fabian Socialists is a tortoise wielding a hammer. Move slow, but strike hard. Very, very sneaky scum they are, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about the mentality of the elite and the suppression syndrome that's been going on here. And I'm conscious that we've only got a couple more segments with you, Sterling, before we bring on Karen to start. And I wanted to get your take on just kind of the free energy devices that you think are the most promising at this particular moment in time.
Okay. One of the things that's most promising right now is cold fusion, and that's actually probably not the proper terminology. It's not fusion, it's probably transmutation. It is nuclear, but it's not dangerous nuclear. There's nothing dangerous being emitted. There's no nuclear radiation going into it or coming out of it. They're using nickel and hydrogen, which are benign. You can eat this stuff and it won't hurt you. You know, they're creating these nuclear reactions that put out a lot of heat. I did an interview a couple of days ago with the guy who we have in our top five exotic free energy technology listing. If you go to top5energy.com as a shortcut URL, he's listed there, and he has a 1 megawatt, 1 megawatt, really quick, as a footnote. A megawatt is about as much power as a small locomotive engine, okay? That's a lot of power. And he delivered a 1 megawatt plant, his second of two that he's built so far and delivered. It's going to a U.S. customer. He talked all about it in this interview. What it does, how It didn't go into so much how it works. We talked about that in previous interviews with him. But he talked about the first customer was a military customer, undisclosed, confidential. The second one's also confidential, but is non-military. And he also talked about a glowing hot cat. He calls this other system 350 degrees stable, capable. They have a video or a photograph online showing this thing running, and it's like red hot. And it's like, whoa, what's up with that? And that what it was is they were basically running it to destruction to see what would happen, see kind of extremes it could go to before it fell apart, kind of thing. And that's where that photograph came from. These industrial rollouts, in fact, they're talking about building, not talking about, they're in process of establishing factories to make these things in a robotics kind of scenario so you can crank them out, because 1,000 of these 1 megawatt plants, each with 106 modules inside of it, you know, that's 106,000 units you need to build, and that's something you need robotics for. So they're working on that. And as these things are built for, and they're expecting 1,000 customers in not too long from now. They've got quite a few lined up already. And they're saying the wait time is only about 4 months. You know, we haven't seen that turnover yet. The second unit that was just delivered was took a good 2.5 years. But of course, the first ones always take longer, but they've worked through a lot of their bugs now, ready to start cranking these things out faster. And at 350 degrees, a hot cat is able to generate electricity. So that's another technology that they're working on. The 1 megawatt unit is heat, not electricity. So people who have need for example, a commercial industrial setting where they need heat in the low range of 103 to 130 degrees Celsius, that's the unit you want. It's $1.5 million for a 1 megawatt unit, which is reasonable for those who are in that industry. It's not it's not necessarily cheaper than what's available out there, but it's in the same ballpark as what is out there. And once they get this thing mass produced, then the price will start dropping. And they'll also, once they get these 1 megawatt plants out there and tested, the test results coming in, then they'll be able to have the data they need to present to the certifications and the safety people so they can start going domestic. Because, of course, they have much higher standards of safety for domestic applications where you're going to be putting something in your basement as opposed to something in an industrial setting where you have safety regulations and people are trained to know how to use the equipment. Very different scenario. And very different, you know, standards of safety. So that's pretty big news. I would recommend people go check that out. Cold fusion supposedly is junk science. Well, these guys are not only not junk science, they're in production. They're making these things. They're selling them. They're distributing them. They're putting them out there in the market. So technically, ECAT is in the market. If you consider 1 megawatt size to be in the market, that I think that fits. It's not yet to the home production size, but that's coming. Like I said, after this data comes in, they'll be able to start opening up those markets. So that's very exciting news. And he has as his dream the idea of Tesla, which is that you have a very high dense energy production cheaply in a very small package. And that's what these things provide. 1 gram of nickel, supposedly, is able to produce 23 gigawatt hours of power. Okay?
That's enough energy to go back to 1985 several times.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. And the recharge time for these units, the modules, would be in the ballpark of 6 months. And the scientists are guessing that the reason for that is that you do the transmutation of the nickel, or the hydrogen goes to deuterium, and the nickel occasionally goes to copper. a much secondary, low secondary reaction. But deuterium, as it builds up, actually quenches the nuclear reaction. So you have to kind of get a new setting, reset the system, get rid of the deuterium, and you're ready to go. Deuterium is non-radioactive. It sounds radioactive, but it's not.
Now, also with any industry, industries try to keep secrets and protect themselves from other competitors and things of that nature. The people who have created this device you're talking about now, what are they doing to protect themselves? Like, have they got, I don't know, trip wires, claymore mines outside the office or something like that, just in case some people try to come in and raid the office, steal their plans, shut down their plant, that kind of thing?
Well, they are doing the traditional things. They're seeking patents. They have an Italian patent awarded. They have filed for U.S. patents, having problems with that. And there's a number of other patents that they're also in process of filing for applications in different embodiments of the technology. So they're doing that. But they're also, you know, they have their security. And also they're being very careful what customers they sell to. As a criteria, for example, you can't buy one unless you have a demonstrated record of needing that kind of heat. If you can prove that you need it and you've used it in the past, chances are you're genuine and you're not just trying to steal IP. And so that's one of the criteria they have for new customers.
How exactly does the patent office fit into all of this? Like, have many, many people gone to the patent office, applied for a patent, and then found out not long afterwards that they get shut down by some men in black?
Yeah, the filing of the patent office is sometimes a way to put them on notice that you've got something cool. Supposedly, when you file a patent, it goes into a black hole until there's a one-year period of time you have in a provisional to then file a utility, and that's when they start looking at it. But I'm guessing they have their sniffers hard at work. You know, if they've got this heavy-duty facility at Camp Williams here in Utah that they're building to spy on us and know our intimate secrets and to analyze it and to get the information that's good for their use of snuffing, you know, out opposition to their bullyism, it obviously they have the capability to sniff out new patents and to find things that are of interest and to slap a national security order on them. In fact, Tom Vallone, who works at the U.S. Patent Office, who actually was let go from the Patent Office when he held a cold fusion conference, he was later given his job back with back pay. He fought that and won. But he said that the Patent Office has an explicit policy that any patents that mention anything to do with cold fusion will automatically be rejected. Has nothing to do with science, has everything to do with politics. And that may be one of the reasons why Andrea Rossi's patent is languishing, so to speak, and not either being speedily reviewed or approved.
Now, I'd heard that agencies of the U.S. government are not actually agencies of the U.S. government in full. They're, in fact, mostly privately owned. Like, there's a 75% shareholding in the CIA that's private and the NSA and things of that nature. I was wondering just how much influence does the private sector or even ownership over the patent office? Do you have any information on that?
I don't, but I do know that, like everything else, it's upside down. And I just remembered that I got that quote from you the last time I was on your show during one of the breaks that came on. I've been using that ever since. That's good stuff. You know, the quote from
David Icke,
everything's upside down. The patent office is supposed to be protecting helping with intellectual property and protection of property is actually a primary instigator of subversion of the protection of good technologies. They're doing the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. And so in this world where everything's upside down, I recommend doing crazy things like open sourcing and putting it to the people to do the honest thing and remit a royalty if they're successful as a business. Publish the plans. You can sell the plans. And then when people build a successful company from those plans, send a royalty. And I think enough people would do the right thing that you would actually get more money that route than if you try to go the traditional route of going through the patent office, getting it awarded, and then going public with your technology.
You know, I see people doing that, like creative implements just sort of like off the cuff and just getting it done by any means necessary, right? And they get criticized for being unprofessional. And I find this very ironic. The world's currently run by professionals, right? How's that working out for you?
Yeah. How are the suits working out?
Not working out very well at all. I mean, you know, if we are in opposite land, that means we've got to do the direct opposite of everything that conventional wisdom would tell us. Conventional wisdom would tell you you need some kind of authority figure, some sort of bureaucracy, and what have you. So you're saying, no, frack the authority figure. We're just going to give it out to the people. Do we need some kind of bureaucracy? No, we're just going to do it direct to people. Okay, that's simple. All done and solved. That's how you live in opposite world. You just do the direct opposite of everything that you're told to do.
By the way, I love the little cuss word that you use there, frack, instead of the other word. I've seen that coming out. I think that's an awesome substitute word that makes a statement at the same time.
Yeah, it's the Shiite Muslim. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Well, there's only one thing I need.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's our final segment here with the miraculous, fabulous, and various other nice adjectives guest, Sterling Allen. His website is peswiki.com. That's P-E-S wiki, like Wikipedia, and Pez, you know, like the little thing with the heads that you like click off and then a little bit of candy comes out, you know? Like cherry-flavored Pez, stand by me.
Sterling, that Z as in zebra.
Yeah, that's right. Now, apparently some guy made a John F. Kennedy head Pez dispenser, but it got shot. It's a Family Guy joke. Anyway, final segment here with you, bro. And thanks for coming on and sharing some of your valuable time with us. I know you're a very busy man. Can I ask you, just in terms of your personal experience, has getting into this realm of work, has it weighed heavy on you at times?
Well, that's what motivates me, is that weight of the sense of how important this is and how much of a difference it can make. If we can get even one of these genres to make it to market, and when I say even one, the question comes up, well, how many are there? And the answer to that question is in the following ballpark figure. I did a story on my website a couple of months ago. I wrote two columns down. In the left-hand column, I had conventional free energy, solar, wind, geothermal, tide, wave, ocean, all that. You know, 25 genres of conventional free energy that nature gives us free for the, you know, free of charge. There are also, on the right-hand side, on the unconventional, there are 25. There are as many unconventional, and almost to every single one of them, almost to an item, they would not only be clean, but they would be much more affordable than pretty much everything on the left-hand column. And that answers the question as to, well, why haven't they made it to market yet? Because there's a lot of forces working against that kind of clean energy emerging because of how empowering it would be to the people. I'm not saying that the powers that be have that much control over things, but I think also part of it has to do with the readiness of the people to receive these things. When the people are ready, then the free energy devices will emerge, not just one, but a whole bunch of them. In a short period of time, we're going to see cold fusion, electromagnetic overunity, water as fuel. We're going to see zero-point energy, magnet motors, gravity motors. We're going to see these things just pop, 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 pop when we're ready for it. When it's similar to the axiom, we get the government we deserve, we get the energy we deserve. And the corruption of the present government is a reflection of the spiritual status of the people they are governing. And when people are realizing enough that they're in a bad way, and when the addict hits the wall, so to speak, and wakes up and realizes he has a problem, when the people awaken, that, I think, is probably going to be the trigger point for unleashing these free energy technologies. And I'm hoping that it's not going to be at the end of the biblical reign of the beast, the 3.5 years reign of the powers that be in total control over the planet, but that there will be a concurrent, the free energy devices will be coming out on the queue, so to speak, on the quiet, under the radar, below, you know, they'll be sneaking out in the cities of light and the communes of patriots, sneaking them and telling people how to turn your regular generator into a free energy generator. It could be that simple. And it will be part of the empowerment of what enables us to survive during the powers that be having a seemingly total domination over the planet. But I would also argue that the extent to which we can wake up before we hit the wall, to use the addict analogy, will be the extent that we don't collapse as a civilization, and that the reign of the beast will be less severe than it would be otherwise. The severity of the reign of the beast is our choice. It's not written in stone. It's not unavoidable. It's got to be this hard, no harder, no less hard. The severity of the reign of the beast is a function of the choice we make as a civilization. It could be a small thing, or it could be a brutal thing. And it's really up to us. And so I don't think the things in the right-hand column are going to come out before we're ready for them as a civilization, either individually in pockets of resistance or collectively as we wake up sufficiently as a society to embrace and adopt these things on a wide-scale basis.
Now, you were talking about conventional and unconventional energy. So for conventional energies, they hold conventions. Would you be thinking about holding an unconvention at some point?
Actually, we do have a lot of unconventions all the time. Today in our New Energy Systems Trust weekly meeting that we were having, we were talking about there are 5 conferences coming up in the near term. We've got one coming up in June, the Bedini Conference up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And then July 10th, we have a conference in Philadelphia and New York with the Tesla Society. And then in Boulder, Colorado, they're having a Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference. And then in October, they're having a Evolve Conference, which may include a section on free energy like they had that they invited me to in February. And so those are just a few of, you know, there's also some cold fusion conferences coming up. There's one at the University of Missouri, I believe June. So there's plenty of unconventions going on. If we had Vinnie Eastwood running the conventions, they might be called unconventions.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can steal the name if you want. I don't have a patent on it. And the other element is, you're talking about how these devices will just pop up everywhere as soon as people are ready. And that reminded me of the telescope. Apparently 9 dudes on different parts of the Earth all at the same time came up with the idea of the telescope and built a prototype. Right? Yeah. Just thinking about that, that's really amazing. You know, it's up there. The ideas and things like that, they filter down and people can pick them up, you know, like a wireless transmitter or something of that nature. It'd be something like that. And then the other idea came to me. It's like, have you ever played Whack-A-Mole?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be like for the New World Order scumbags, like just playing a giant game of Whack-A-Mole. It's like, there's this guy making this device and that guy making that device. Whack, 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 whack. Too many moles, bro. You'll never be able to whack them all.
Yeah. And I think to a certain extent we reach the state of no return, the escape velocity easily last year, that there's no way they're going to stop this. There's too many people, too many inventors, too many teams. The momentum is too strong. It is, these things are going to come out. There's no doubt about it.
You wonder about what any kind of creative solutions they might come up for this sort of a problem of people rising up, waking up, and creating devices to free themselves. How exactly will they try to hold on to their power structure? And it makes me very nervous.
Well, one of the primary tools that they used, and I mentioned this so you have a tool in your belt to know how to disarm this tool, is ridicule. They make fun of people, tinfoil hat, junk science, conspiracy theory. And all they have to do to a socialite to get them to shut up is to make fun of them. It's one of the primary tools of the bully is to tease and to make fun and to use stupid names and to call you names. For most people, that's all it takes to keep them quiet, to keep them down, to keep them from rising up, is just to call them a silly name. And people don't want to risk their reputations. They don't want to step up and be counted because they don't want to look crazy. Because everyone now knows that when you say certain phrases like New World Order or free energy or cold fusion, that you're one of them, the crazy fringe crowd. And if you know that, then you can diffuse it by not letting it get to you. You know that that's a tool, and you don't let ridicule get to you. You grow a thick skin, and you just do the right thing, and you don't care what people say about you.
Yeah, basically. Ain't nobody ever going to help you do the right thing. Doing the right thing is usually doing the hard thing, isn't it? You got to suffer. You got to go through hardship. Otherwise, hey, if it's too freaking easy, then it's not worth it.
One of the things, I wanted to mention another technology. We've only talked about one.
We've got about 40 seconds to wrap it up, man.
Okay. Well, go to our top5energy.com. You can see the closest technologies to market, the ones that are going to make the biggest difference. There's a lot of ways you can get involved in helping out. We have a donate button. We could use donations like anybody else in this sector. So thank you for having me on, Vinny.
You're very welcome, man. It was a pleasure and my honor as always.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.
Will do. Don't really have much of a choice. You know, as a great man once said, it's not a choice, it's a lack of options. Sterling Allen has been my guest, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed this little interview. You'll be able to catch the YouTube version of this at youtube.com/Mr News. Guerrilla Media, my YouTube channel. Link's there on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And also, we're listener supported too, so donate or subscribe if you can. We'll be right back. I'm back. I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I'm back. I didn't go anywhere. my very special guest is Karen Quinn Tostado. I kind of refer to her lovingly as the den mother of of UnitedWeStrike.com. Kind of like the what's the term for a female wolf that like suckles its cubs and stuff? I forget the term.
A she-wolf?
Yeah. She's the she-wolf den mother.
And then so I'm out raising hell and murdering and pillaging on my wolf time, on my she-wolf time.
In a pack animal type fashion.
Well, I'll tell you, Vinny, I would love to be able to raise some hell, because there would be enough people who felt like I did and thought like I did to where they were outraged enough by everything that's happening around them to have one of those, what the frack did you just tell me, moments to where they just, it hit them so hard and so deep that they would realize staying home a couple of days from work is a pretty reasonable thing to do when you actually begin to see the enormity of what's against us.
Yeah, it is quite enormous. You can't look anywhere direct. I've said this so many times on the radio, Karen. It bears repeating. You can't look in any direction without seeing the apparatus of the New World Order, at least some form of scumbaggery. And that's really frustrating, because it means you can't escape from it. Usually when you've got some kind of a bad, horrible, terrible, violent, psychopathic person in your life, you just go, okay, I'm going to go over this way now, and I'm not going to hang out with that person anymore. But in this case, the whole world is built lock, stock, and barrel in the apparatus of scumbaggery.
Yep.
There is no escape. There's only resistance.
Yeah, and the ones who are the very worst criminals of all are the ones who are leading the country. And I know they've got the Benghazi hearings going on now. I'm not really paying too much attention to that, although I did hear that simultaneously as that was going on, Hillary Clinton was receiving some kind of an award. It's just so crazy, and I try not to let it drive me crazy, Vinny, but there are times when I just, you know, I felt like I hit a wall yesterday, because I see, you know, people don't get the bigger picture. I mean, I understand that we all need to make a living, and I understand that we need to pay our bills, and I understand that if we don't pay our bills, we'll be messed up. That is how this system runs. But I also understand that all of our bills are based on fraud, that all of this is based on fraud and lies and deception, and this has been a multi-generational coup of all governments so that they can whittle us down, murder most of us, and rebuild the world. And I know that sounds crazy to some people maybe who are listening. It doesn't to you, but, you know, I mean, if people would just look up. You know, I talked to my friend Dinah Everett Snyder. Do you know her, Vinny? Dinah Everett Snyder, she's been on with Charlie. And she's, well, I'll have to introduce you, because she's doing some absolutely wonderful job in terms of veterans and PTSD. She's giving them cannabis juice, which is not to get them high, but actually to get them clean. She also puts them through a program where they go through it in groups, and they change their diet, they change their thinking, they're monitored. They are really making wonderful headway. And the first group she had were only six veterans. The second group she had were 33. And she's noticing that, you know, these poor people are lied to and abused most of all. Most of all. Vaccinated up, they're afraid to even check to see if they've got the RFID chips, which are the chips that are imprinted a lot through vaccines. And our friends at ICAACT.org, Jesse Beltran and Lars Drudgard, do you know them as well?
No.
More people I have to introduce you to, Vinny. And they're also on the marathon earlier, but they are with ICA, the International Council Against Abuse of Covert Technology, or International Center against abusive covert technology. And Jesse, who founded it, had an RFID chip implanted in his tooth when he went to the dentist. And I mean, they're able now to EMF from a distance, to control people with these, to not only find out where they're going, but to send different signals if they want to mess with them. They actually feel like they are being tortured. And it's huge. There are thousands and thousands of people around the world who have been chipped without their knowledge or consent. And now there's a new European coalition against covert harassment that we are going to help to debut on the marathon, which is Saturday. So we've got the United We Strike marathon the second Saturday of every month. And thank you again, Vinny, for being part of this. And we're trying to open it up with round tables now and get people to really meet each other. So we've got a time difference now with the time changes. And in in UK, we're going to start at actually 4 a.m. over in Switzerland with Detlef, and he's going to do 2 hours of German. That's in Pacific time. Then at 6 a.m. Pacific time, we're going to have a two-hour special. You know how it's down to about 27 minutes now, but we want to start tying in some of these threads of these bigger issues where we're working on an individual part of it, because along with these RFID chips, other topics that are involved are mind control, geoengineering, Morgellons, smartphones, smart meters, just regular cell phones, EMFs, the microwave towers, weather manipulation. It's a big, big topic. And so we're going to have a two-hour roundtable consisting that's from 6 till about 7, and 7 to 8 we'll have a musical break in there with people from Europe who will really be talking about this and getting into it, because many people who think they're crazy and they're hearing voices are actually not crazy. They are hearing voices. They are what is known, or what are known, as targeted individuals. And it's just absolutely frightening. I mean, when they take our blood when we're born, they can also know individually just what it is that sets us apart and target us that way. And now they don't even have to put in RFID chips, Vinny. They can just send out a frequency to mess with a particular blood type. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they got bags of potato RFID chips for people to eat or something like that, you know, and what, or, you know, like Pringles.
Yeah.
Once you pop, you can't stop being tracked.
Yeah. Maybe.
See,
but
well, here's something you said earlier is, you know, sparked off something. You said that if you look at the world and all of these things that we're talking about, it sounds crazy. You know, it does sound crazy at first. And then you realize that just because it sounds crazy doesn't mean it's not true. If you think that it's crazy, does that mean that you think the world's currently a very sane, wonderful, decent place, right? Who's the one who's craziest? Yeah.
It's difficult. Well, and it's also difficult, too. I've realized there just aren't, right now, enough people, Vinny, who kind of feel like we do, or like I do, just thinking that trying to offer a solution, you know, where do you go? You, obviously, trying to work within this system is absolutely futile. Resistance is futile.
Well, can I ask you, Karen, you said that there's not enough people currently awake. How much is enough?
Well, I think enough, Vinny, is to where actually they start making themselves known through action that really has teeth in it. And until we really stop and know that every single solitary day that goes by, more people are murdered on our dime. Right now, it's, what, Syria. Then pretty soon it's Iran. You know, we're already murdering people in Pakistan. We cry over here. The president of the Corporation of the United States, whose only mandate truly is to make money, you know, cries and tears up about children who are dying. And yet, how many hundreds, thousands?
He's the fracker killing them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sad about these children. Oh, yeah. Okay, where's another death warrant?
Yeah. Just give them the finger and don't worry about it. And we're so disconnected from that. You know, we're thinking it's a job. We're still thinking, some of us, that there is something moral about war. We're not connecting the death and destruction. And you know, Vinny, it just, I guess I'm very empathetic and I'm aware every night that more people have died, paid for with my money, and the machine gets ever and ever closer to whatever kind of crash it's going to come to, because it is going to come to a head. We cannot have this kind of malfeasance. I mean, did you hear also a judge sentenced, Lauren Hill, I think. Was it Lauren Hill?
Oh, yeah, to text.
And then to re-education school, because she says that, you know, if you have integrity, you can't get anywhere in the music business. You know, if you're a sellout like Lady Gaga, you'll be famous. But if you have some integrity, you're in trouble. So they want to re-educate her as well. It's like, this is just a freaking nightmare from 1984, and people are going for it still. You know, in Boston, people, yay, I'm incapable of protecting myself. Let's shut down the city for another false flag. And then we have Adam Kokesh wanting people to march with armed rifles over their back in Washington, D.C. We've got the sheriff there saying it's against the statute. And while I totally support the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, you know, I think that this is like waving a red flag at a bull. And when people get out there en masse, the first thing that they really don't think about is you leave your family and your home vulnerable. And you really don't know what's going to happen when they have these microwave weapons, when they've got the sound cannons, when they've got the tasers, when they've got the batons, and when the biggest thing that they want to do is beat the crap out of you and put you back in line. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you, Vinny?
You know, in some ways it does, because you can understand the mentality. Second Amendment, the Black Panthers actually did this to great effect during the 60s, where black men would say being beaten down by corrupt Chicago cops or something of that nature. The Black Panthers would turn up, armed, point weapons at the cops, and the beating would stop. And soon after, the violence against blacks by police in areas where Black Panthers operated began to lessen and virtually stop altogether. And they're not doing that anymore, though, and the beatings resume. And it occurs to me that it's very dangerous, shaky ground that we all walk upon, and I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not going to incite violence. Kokesh is not inciting violence, is he? He's simply saying we have the right to bear arms, and that's precisely what we're going to do. We're going to have a peaceful protest, but we're going to be armed. Just as a political point that this is our rights, and if you want to try and sound cannon us while we're all armed to the teeth in this protest, your sound cannon machine's going to get blown away.
Well,
here's the thing. When was the last time you saw a cop beating up an armed protester? It has never frickin' happened, because cops are frickin' cowardly. That's why they beat up protesters. It's like, who's the most threatening person here? Oh, look, it's a 16-year-old kid wearing with dreadlocks, sitting down very peaceably and stuff like that. He needs to be pepper sprayed because he's dangerous. Yeah, I'm a big man. I'm so strong. I'm so freaking awesome. You know? Those are the people that they like to do.
Think about this.
You were talking about Lauren Hill earlier, and just reminded me, you know, the music business is not about music. It's about business.
Yep.
And you were talking about veterans earlier. And I was thinking to myself, I actually feel guilty, right? Like, whenever anybody mentions veterans, I actually have it's like something's pressing on my heart. because I've heard and seen so much. I mean, I've had a little bit of suffering right in my life, right? It's fracking nothing by comparison to what veterans go through. Nothing.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had a silver spoon in my mouth and had everything done for me my entire life by comparison to being vaccinated and living out your life on veterans' pension benefits that keep consistently getting cut using dangerous medications that make you want to freaking kill yourself and give you kidney failure and all of this other kind of stuff. And then they tell you that it's your problem, that it's your mental disorder, that the Gulf War syndrome, that they marched you into these massive chemical clouds with all these freaking weapon bunkers that they blew up and all the chemical weapons that they sold Iraq, that raining down on all of these poor people, you know, and they're just decent guys going 22. Into the military to serve their country, serve their people, and they're just lied to, and it destroys their entire freaking existence a lot of the time, and it just really irks me.
22 veterans die every day of either suicide or, you know, drug overdose. 22 a day, Vinny. 22 a day, and they're just chewed up and spit out. And you think about, though, I mean, when you really start thinking about the absurdity of the way we live, boot camp, if that isn't fracking trauma-based mind control to strip you of your individuality and to make you think that you are nothing more than a grunt whose only job is to serve the platoon and to obey immoral and horrible orders, and they were lied into it. And Dinah says also that there's a clause, the federal government, you know, it gives funding to schools, and that's what allows them to send these sharks in before the children are graduating to recruit them, aggressively recruit these children. And that's what they are. They're children when they go in, and they're lied to, and it's a nightmare.
All paid for with our money. And I'm just thinking, you know how they got a debt clock in Wall Street or whatever? We need a death counter to see how much people our money has killed. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Maybe people probably didn't notice there, but I actually cried during that last segment there, just thinking about the veterans and all of that. So I'd like everybody to do a little bit of a an operation with me, okay? If you're not driving, if you're just sitting down or something like that, you know, just stop doing what you're doing, okay? And just listen to my voice for a second. Close your eyes, if you will. Use your imagination for a moment. Imagine that you once believed that the government was good. Imagine that you believed it so strongly, and your passion to protect your people against enemies, foreign and domestic, was strong enough that you willingly signed your life away on a dotted line. And then you make a whole lot of really good friends when you go into the service. And you learn about structure and discipline and so on and so forth. And you feel that you're becoming stronger, a more efficient machine, a better man, a better woman. Then imagine that you suddenly get deployed to a place that you have no familiarity with, a place that's hot and dry, full of people of a culture you don't understand, with these smiling kids and happy faces and people everywhere that are so generous and loving and kind. And then you get ordered to kill those people. You get ordered to burn down a school full of children. And then you have to deal with the guilt. And then they pump you full of drugs and vaccines because you can't deal with it. And then you start taking acid. Then you start smoking two types of frickin' crack cocaine every day just to deal with the stress and the guilt and the pressure. And then when you get home, after a full year killing innocents, seeing your good friends die you realize that there's no jobs for you because there's a fake mark on your record that says that you're a thief or a pedophile and that the only other option for your employment is to go back there to kill more of them because you can't even get a job pumping gas. And because you can't deal with that, you decide to become homeless, and that's your only option. And you spend your times on the street trying to whittle away the days until your death, plying yourself with whatever substance you can find, because even that is a better alternative than serving the government, which you once thought cared about you and your people and your nation. That's what I feel when I just hear the word veteran. Okay, that there may be a worst case scenario, but just think about this. It is not an isolated incident. One quarter of the current homeless population in the United States are veterans who have gone through things that I've just described here. Do you not feel something? It's not just one person. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Imagine it. Just imagine all those families who lose their loved ones, whether they die or simply get killed inside. And it's not their fault that they were lied to. It's ours that we let them die in our name and do nothing to stop it.
Very true, Vinny. And when they come back, they're not the same. You know, some of the concerns that they have are the enemy changes. Here, shoot Al-Qaeda here, and oh no, now don't shoot them, they're our buddies. You know, they are, now we allow torture. You know, we give the Peace Prize to a criminal who doesn't even come up with the right kind of records that should be able to be checked for him to be president. But since he's president of the Corporation of the United States, nobody cares. You know, we don't care that there are only 535 misrepresentatives who sell us out every day, who create laws that they're bribed into creating. And war is a huge profit. You know, war is a racket by Major General Smedley Butler Clark. Nobody talks about the coup that he was instrumental in stopping at the end of the first war. You know, we live in a crazy world where we're forced to be born in an institution that immediately takes us from our mother, gives us a shot for hepatitis B, and what baby is really seriously in threat of having hepatitis B, along with all these other horrible toxins. We take their blood, we tell the parents what they can and cannot do with their own child, we sell them onto the stock market, we send them home, we're in debt. We should not be born in debt. We should not be murdering each other for lies that go back to profit and manipulation and bankers, and especially now when the little guys keep going to jail and they've even turned jail into a money-making machine. The god of this world is profit, Vinny. It's so easily apparent, and it is also dark profit. It's the evilest type of warfare around. It is a spiritual warfare that we have been so twisted. We actually think we're a civilized society when we allow murder and rape and torture every day. And now there's even some ridiculous woman over, I think, in the UK who wants to raise or to lower the age of minors to 13 so some of these old guys who are pedophiles won't be getting in trouble for their choices. You know, stop persecuting these old pedophiles, these old fracking pedophiles like the Pope. You know, we go to church knowing that some of these priests are pedophiles or hiding pedophilia, and yet we still line up by the thousands to kiss the ring of his ass holiness. You know, so to me, Vinny, it's just so crazy that I keep hoping people will just get that. What the frack did you just tell me? Did you just tell me that my children and myself are infected with whatever it is that's falling from the skies that has been doing it for so long that all of us now are infected. It may not be showing up, but yeah, that's one of the things that I'm learning. And that it's not only that they're dropping these chemicals from the sky, but we're swimming in them. You know, if I didn't believe I was spirit having a human experience, I don't know what I would do, you know? And some days, just the reality of all of it, then I do have to step back and say, okay, I'm spirit, having a human experience, but it doesn't have to be this bad. To me, you know, if on July 4th, instead of going and marching and having a big show, what I would hope people would do is have water and... Sorry, my husband's in the background here. But I'd have people have get your food, get your water, get your guns and your protection gear, and stay home. You know, what would happen in Washington, D.C. if we put out the word that, oh, yeah, we're all going to march, but actually everybody stayed home so that they'd get all prepared, they'd spend all of this government money sending all the goons out who are all dressed up, the mercs who are ready to kick ass. You know, they'd send all their troops out, and they'd have nobody to mess with but each other, because we'd be home living our lives saying, you know, maybe it is time that I celebrate this day with my children of freedom, and then maybe I should take the next 3 days of the weekend, not purchase anything from big box multinational corporations, take my money as much as I can out of the bank, and shop mom and pop and drop their profit line. Maybe that would be the thing to do over these 4 days. Instead of spending a bunch of money on a vacation, figure out something that you can do within your home, within your community, something that will really enhance your life. I mean, what do you think, Vinny? How would it look if instead of this big march, it was empty streets and we were living our lives and they had empty banks and empty airports? Do you think it would have an effect?
Oh, yeah, it would do. But my concern with that is, though, staying home and not doing something... I know what you're saying... I'm just wondering, trying to rectify the situation, because there's so much to do, and much of it cannot be accomplished by staying home and getting out of the system. Like I think that there's two lines to the truth movement. There is, and these both lines are absolutely necessary. Like soldiers and medics. Soldiers and medics are absolutely necessary on the front line of the battlefield, right? One to fight the enemy that's trying to kill you, and one to patch up your people that are being hurt in the process, right? And I see the stay home, the spiritual awareness part of the truth movement as the medics, because as you were saying that, it occurred to me, this thought that I had yesterday is a lot of this stuff really does get to you. Okay, and I was thinking, how am I actually dealing with it? Because if I'm not dealing with these things that really upset me, it's going to conquer me. It's going to destroy me, right? You know, your thoughts are very powerful, and they can disarm you. They can force you to think that everything's too much. And I've seen so many people quit doing this, doing the right thing, as it were, speaking on the radio and trying to help people understand the real problems with our world. And because they don't go out, okay? And I called up a radio show one time, and this radio show host, I think, Mikey Havoc, is relatively famous in New Zealand, bit of a 9/11 truther himself. And he was arguing with me over the phone, even being a 9/11 truther, that knowing about conspiracy and all of these things can be very damaging. And he cited the example of one of his friends who kind of started to go a little bit crazy sort of thing after learning all these things. And I asked him, so Mikey, and Mikey's a DJ and goes out partying all the time, right? So Mikey, are you socially active? And he goes, well, yeah. You're going out, meeting new people, having laughs, having friends and having fun all the time? Yeah. That's why you didn't go nuts. What about your friend? And he's like, no, he just stayed at home by himself, alienated himself from everybody, and gradually went more and more freaking nuts. It's the important lesson that I think we all need to learn, is that you need good friends, Okay, and that's how I deal with it. If I'm feeling down or crappy or exhausted, I'll usually go to see my mate Jono on Thursday nights when we watch cartoons together, or I'll go see my mate Dan and we'll have a coffee or whatever, or I'll go see my mate Mike and we'll play a song or make something up together, and it just to remind me that although almost everything is fracked, there is still some good in this world. You need to remind yourself of that, especially when you feel like it's the hardest thing to see.
When I talk about staying home, though, I'm not talking about being inactive, because if you really think about it, Vinny, what is more important than our homes? You know, there shouldn't really be, aside from our spiritual connection, our home truly should be our castle, and we should all own land. We should be able to wake up in the morning, and instead of now, where you wake up to the screaming of an alarm clock or maybe a baby in the other room, and then you have to get up, and if you're a mom, you got to get breakfast, and your children off to school, and then you probably have a job, and your husband has a job, and then after school, you got meetings, and you know, you don't really talk to your children because you give them to somebody else to raise, really, to educate, and the propaganda that they're fed, and the school lunches now that they, some schools don't even let you send a bag lunch. They force the children to eat what crap they're giving them. Well, you know, we don't live real lives. And then at night when we get home, if we're lucky, you know, we have time for dinner, then you have time for maybe a little bit of TV and you go to bed. And we're not communicating with our children, and the job is keeping us just over broke. What I would like people to really entertain are a whole different set of thoughts. And I'm reading the Ringing Cedars series, the Russian Ringing Cedars series, the Anastasia books. And they've got some fascinating philosophical ideas. But I do think that instead of a job being just over broke, we should be able to wake up in the morning when we want to. We should be able to greet the sun. We should walk out into our garden just for the joy of being. That should be our job, the joy of being. And in these books, it said the real goal of God, what God wants from his people, is conjoint creation and joy to all who contemplate it. Think about that, Vinny. Conjoint creation that brings joy to all who contemplate it. And we have an abundant, beautiful planet. Think about what we could be doing if we stopped believing that some people are better than we are, that you need a little piece of paper, that, you know, some are not worthy, that we have to fight each other. You know, what if the biggest lie of all is the paradise we should be creating here, and there's really no other place to go when we're gone and we screw it up, you know? What about that? Or the reincarnation of maybe the whole planet. But if we do reincarnate, man, can't we get it right before we destroy ourselves and our world again? Do we have to keep fighting? Or can we look at a whole different area and think really about the joy of being when you get up because you want to, you have enough land to have, they talk about having a hectare of land for all the people who want it, where you've got over 300 varieties of fruits, vegetables, herbs, you've got fruit trees and cedar trees, and you know, you live from the land. That would be amazing. You can be self-sufficient forever if we stop thinking that we've got to run everybody else.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. Frack, we've been doing a depressing show together today, Karen. Right. I was just saying over the break, you know, if you actually let it get to you, okay, if you think real hard for 20 minutes, frack, it even probably only takes about 2 minutes of thinking real hard about the reality of the New World Order before you start thinking, you know what, maybe curling into a fetal position might be a good idea. Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, there's so much scumbaggery. I'm toxified, et cetera, et cetera. Mate, just you know, breathe that out. Just, we're fracked. try and make some levity. I was watching. I'm probably ashamed to say this, but I was watching Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines. Yes, I know, terrible movie. But anyway, it's got a good quote in it. They're like sitting in this RV that they just stole, right? And they're like cruising across the desert after being chased by this Terminatrix thingy. And one of them makes a joke, and they both start laughing. And then the Terminator, you know, Arnie in the front seat says, "Levity is good. It distracts you from the your imminent death."
That's a good line.
I'm the Terminator in this situation. I am the voice of comedy that is trying to distract you from your imminent doom. Maybe I'm not doing a good enough job. Maybe everybody's getting too depressed anyway. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's quite a job out there to try and keep on top of all this stuff and not really let it drive you crazy, because it is just so insane. And again, then it just reaches the point to me, Vinny, where I think sometimes there's so much you just have to stop. You have to stop and take a break. And I think that if we did that at the same time and declared a time for the people. You know, we encourage action on the 15th in terms of a boycott. Ladies and gentlemen, please think about the power of the purse. Think about not spending money in the big box stores over the weekend of the 4th. I mean, at least we could send a message by dropping profit. And if you think also about what could you be doing in your home that would benefit you and your family? When is it time to take stock and see how much you have in case of an emergency? You know, and when is it time to think about maybe moving to the country? But then again, if and when enough of us really understand, okay, 535 miscreants over here selling us out, it really is a minority. When enough of us decide that we are no longer going to play the game by their rules, because we've seen over and over again it is a rigged game. They fix the prices of the metals every day. You can see them even talking about the fact that there's no metal to sell, and yet they're dropping the prices. It's so absolutely crazy. And re-education now, if you speak out against the government, and we've got these, you know, I don't care who loves who. You know, I don't care if you're gay, but I really think that we ought to take a good look at the people who are in the United States government who claim to be female, because, come on, you've got people in there who are just trying to prove that they're tough, and we've got to win, and we've got to save the children of America who are afraid about the guns. Well, man, Michelle Obama, why don't you talk to your husband about the drones? The children in Pakistan, I'm sure, are much more fearful with much better reason. So, anyway, Vinny, the second Saturday of every month, we have United We Strike. We've got the marathon. We get people together from all over the world. The roundtables are going to be very interesting. It's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then at 5:30, we're going to have another roundtable and see who wants to join us from earlier on in the day. And it's where we get to introduce hosts and guests to each other, because usually they don't get to meet. So that's kind of a neat thing. And Vinny, I want to thank you for helping with that too and being part of it, because it is kind of fun to get to talk to people that you normally you never get to talk to. So we keep on uniting, and you know what I'd like to do also here, Vinny, is I'd like to ask you to close your eyes now for a second, and your listeners to close your eyes, because I just like you to think about these words that are a message that is simple, but it really can be profound when we think about it in terms of the first person. So if you'll just kind of close your eyes and take a breath and open up to to just receiving a message. I will be a source of certainty within the sea of confusion. I'll stand tall. The waves won't make me fall. I've seen through it all. It's an illusion. We were all meant to be living life abundantly, exploring all our majesty. And when enough of us know it, we are free. We are free.
Beautiful. You know, it doesn't take a cast of thousands. That's what I've learned. Usually just a few people taking a stand, doing what they know to be right. Everybody else kind of falls in line. It'll often cost that one person a lot in order to do what's right for humanity. And then everybody jumps on the bandwagon afterwards, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, as it were. But that's okay. If you're doing the right thing, what do you got really to complain about? At least you're not doing nothing. And that's what I really try to reiterate to people, is just don't do nothing. The system is predicated on you taking no action. The system is predicated on you coming home and watching TV instead of coming home and working on a free energy device in your garage that might blow up the neighborhood. But hey, it's fun. Well, you know, just work on something in your spare time. And I watched this really great little mini-documentary last night, Karen. I think you'll love it. It's called How TV Destroyed My Life, or something to that nature. And it's done by an English comedian. He's insulting all these people and everything. And he shows how TV saps your aspiration for life. Because, hey, everybody's pretty. Everybody's thin. Everybody's wealthy. Everybody's living in a nice architecturally designed home, or driving really expensive cars, or going out to really incredible clubs, or making love to really pretty women. And you're not doing any of that. And as a result of seeing all these people do this in a fantasy world, you think they're your friends. You think that instead of sitting back and accomplishing nothing with your life, if you're watching TV, you feel like you're actually a part of this glitz and glamour. It's a fracking illusion, and it depresses you, and it saps you of all aspiration in your life, because instead of doing something that would make you a better person, that would make you happier, you're sitting there watching fake characters live your happiness for you. And it was an intense realization for me of just how much of our lives get spent, more to the point, wasted by watching fake characters on TV, whether they be part of some kind of a game show, whether they're real people or not, is irrelevant. It's not real. And we're wasting our lives away. We're wasting all our potential by sitting there and consuming it and being programmed by it and being jealous of all these people having these lives that we could never have. That was really sad. But anyway, Karen,
hey, Vinny.
You're still with us. So
yeah, I dropped off there into the bozone.
The bozone.
So that's it, you know. That's most of us, if we ever get out of the bozone, we can look up, see what's happening to the ozone, take a whiff, try and wake up and do something about it. Smell the roses. Anyway, sorry that I lost it on part of that. Where did I drop out?
I think you just finished your song. And then,
oh, good.
And then it was all done. So it was like perfect timing.
Oh, good. Usually when I drop out is when something really eloquent comes out of me that I'll never be able to remember or repeat.
Yeah, well, in this case, it was like a convenient, oh, that was beautiful. I'm glad she left us with that, and now she's gone.
Oh. Well, thank you. And I do believe it, though. When enough of us know it, we are free. When we know that we don't have any obligation whatsoever to obey immoral leaders or immoral orders. And that's all we're doing right now. We're accepting immorality. We're justifying it. We're saying, oh, yeah, well, he has to do it. Well, no, the Israelis don't have to be bombing the hell out of Syria right now. We don't have to pay for that. Anyway, hopefully you can join us, your listeners, on UnitedWeStrike.com this Saturday all day long. And also, Vinny, can you join us at 5:30 for the round table?
You mean just after my set in there?
Christina with a global radiation report will be first, and yeah, it'll be like a half hour after. Come back, okay. Join us.
Yeah, I could probably swing that if I really try. Should be easy enough. All right, Karen Quinn Tostado, always lovely. The Den Mother, the She Wolf.
I like Den Mother.
Yeah. Incidentally, related to Michael J. Fox. I'm just kidding. Teen Wolf reference. They're going to mix up there. Anyway, UnitedWeStrike.com is the website. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening.